Blog Talk Radio.
Well, folks, what's happening? Welcome to the show. I am your host, Mark Hoffman. This is the Patriot Nation Radio Show, and we have one hell of a show on tap for you guys tonight. I don't know what's going on here. I think I'm being blocked or something, because it doesn't seem that I'm inviting hundreds of people, and the audience is freaking low. So if you're here on the live feed, please share this with all your friends. Invite everybody that you know. We're going to get the whole story of our Patriot brother, Casey Massey. Now, he was supposed to come on last Monday. He wound his ass up in the hospital. And we wanted him to make sure that he was safe and healthy and ready to go. And so he's joining us today. We were able to cover last week. If you join us, we did the Declaration of Independence, and we inserted Barack Obama in any place that King George might have been throughout the Constitution and dropped jaws. And it was pretty fun. We had a good time. I hope everybody enjoyed it. I certainly enjoyed it. So, folks, please, if you're in the live feed, because we got nobody there. There's four of you. If all of you invite 10 people and share it twice, we'll get this audience up. So work with me here, folks. And let's get this audience cranking, because it's a very, very important show tonight. Casey's been making the rounds now. He's been on a couple of shows. Very good stuff. Very important that we hear his story and what happened. And then where he stands and how he feels about what happened and how the Patriot community failed as other political prisoners were held in higher regard than a gentleman in a gunfight, who had shots fired at him on the border. It's a crazy story. We're going to hit the whole story. Please just start sharing this around. Invite your friends. It's very important that this message gets out. So I want as many people to listen as humanly possible.
You are listening to Patriot Nation Radio Live, 347-637-3942.
And just give me a few minutes. I'm going to cover a couple of these ads. This is Liberty Rush and Dave Bray, USA.com. We'll be back in about 2 minutes because I got to get this show invited and get people listening. There's something weird going on here with my blog.
Thank you for listening to Patriot Nation Radio, 347-637-3942.
Attention conservatives. Big social media is targeting conservatives like you and me in an effort to silence us and the truth. The free speech social media that you have waited for is here at LibertyRush.com. No longer do you have to be distracted by fake news. Join the war on fake news at LibertyRush.com. The official alternative with no libtard rhetoric. Guaranteed. LibertyRush.com.
Hey, what's up, everybody? This is Dave Bray, America's favorite patriotic rocker, and you are listening to Patriot Nation Radio Network.
I never knew about at a funeral or like the last day when an officer is passed, and they actually go and the dispatch will close basically down the radio air for emergency only. And then she will call the badge number, or he will call the badge number from dispatch, and obviously there's never an answer. Brave soul has passed away in the line of duty. Felt like something needed to be done or to recognize that. And that's what the song is about, basically. It's about an officer who's, you know, gone down in the line of duty, and, you know, he's given his all. And, you know, when they do reach out for the last call, he answers back, and these are his words. And one thing a lot of people don't know, I know a lot of cops, you know, in and out of uniform. They are very human, just like you and I. Pick and choose what laws they uphold, but they have to uphold the ones that are put in place by our representatives. And our representatives are the people that we put in office. And the same people that are out there with their signs are the same people that are putting lunatics in office. Here's the wake-up call, people. Don't come down on the men and women in blue for doing their job. Come down on your representatives for passing these BS laws and get involved in your political on a local level and fix what the problem is. Fix the problems in our laws today. Get involved in your local politics and get moving. Get moving in America. Become a citizen. A citizen doesn't mean you sit back and collect a paycheck from the government. A citizen means you are a part of the government, a part of the citizenry, a part of the voting and voicing public. And that's what I think the song says moreover than anything else. And if people want to hear it, because I know they do, please go to Dave Bray USA right now on Facebook. That's DaveBray USA.
That's right, folks. LibertyRush.com. Yes, Earl Cologne is live right now. He's asking me to call into his show and maybe simulcast this interview live. We may attempt to do that. It's just an ad to call, you know, but I don't have his phone number. He sent it to me. I forgot to write it down, and now we're live. But thank you, Betty. I want to say hello to everybody on the live feed there. We got a little bit of an audience now. Cindy, Francis is there. She helps us research our stories. Hello, Francis. Jose is there. Big patriot brother right there, and Marine. So we know our Marine brothers and sisters and all our military members who are now veterans always defend their oath and hold it to the highest standard. God bless all our veteran listeners that tune in. Reb is watching. Christina's watching. Ron Daigle's watching. Ron, we got to do a show, Ron. Get Christian on the show. Have you come on the show, and let's talk about Remember the Sailor. That'd be great. Christian Saucier getting on the news again because of this Remember the Sailor tweet by President Trump in reference to James Comey. James Comey's got to go down, folks. I know this is ridiculous what's happening. Maureen's watching. Hey, Maureen. Folks, make sure to check out Preston Sharp and his challenge, the Flag and Flower Challenge. We're going to be trying to do a national event here on Veterans Day this year, I believe, is when he wants to nail it. So we're going to try and work it out, get some flags donated in a large scale to try and get that together, ladies and gentlemen. You know what I mean? Jimmy Ahern's watching. Jimmy, what's happening, brother? Good to see you back on the airwaves. We'll be talking with gentleman Casey Massey here in just a second. But this FBI thing is really going crazy. But Casey Massey, as you know, just released from a federal penitentiary after being railroaded by the Border Patrol. We're going to get him on here in a second to tell the story. We're going to start right here. On the Trump train, folks, and we're rolling down the tracks. Nobel Peace Prize possibly in the president's future. Hallelujah. A deserved peace prize, not like the last president who got a peace prize for whatever reason. To me, it doesn't even matter. Whatever he got as a peace prize should be stripped from him completely. Just for droning a 16-year-old American citizen overseas while he's over there and is, you know, visiting his parents' home country, and they droned them. Jesus Christ. But anyway, I'm going to move on with this story right now, ladies and gentlemen. Without further ado, I want to welcome our future guest tonight, Mr. Casey Massey, live on the Patriot Nation Radio Network. In case you got the show on in the background, you got to turn it down. It makes a horrible echo.
Okay. Let me change locations.
And ladies and gentlemen, this episode may be rated R for language, so stay tuned. Beware, and if you have children in the room, please put them in the other room and turn on Mickey Mouse or something, because our guest tonight may have some things to say that might come forth vulgarly, because he's angry. He should be angry. Let him get to another location, and we'll get this rolling here. As you know, we had Casey on back in March 16, 2015 was the last time he came on Patriot Nation Radio. He had a upcoming court appearance, I believe it would be March 25th or 24th, 2015, was the date, hoping at that date to possibly have the charges thrown out. And when he got to that date, surprise, surprise, surprise. But before we get to that court date, let's go all the way back, Casey, to the beginning. and Camp Lone Star. My good friend Rusty tunes in from now and then, and he's kind of seen some crazy stuff down there on his land. Recently, you won't believe what he's seen, Casey. He was there on his yard, and the cartel pulled up with a vehicle with a bunch of people inside, and they set the damn thing on fire and let the people scream and die. And Rusty's in America watching Mexico, and there's nothing he can do. Scary. This is why these guys were down Camp Lone Star in the first place, to stop this kind of crap from coming to America. But it's coming. We got a convoy. Breaker 1-9, we got ourselves a convoy. Anyway, enough of that. We got a caravan, they're calling, of illegal immigrants coming here to claim political asylum. Granted, political asylum, refugees, means once your country's straightened up, get the hell out, get back to your country. The only thing that pisses me off about the whole situation with this caravan, all right, you see pregnant women and you see fighting-age men. How come the fighting-age men aren't fighting for their country? Maybe because the flag they live under has now become a symbol of tyranny, a lot like some other flags we know and love are now basically symbols of tyranny until we take the power back as the people. But KC, are you there, sir?
Yeah, I'm here.
That was my
mind. Can you hear me?
I was waiting for you to get relocated, and I was kind of rambling on there. Sometimes I get on a ramble. So let's go back to the incident that wound you up in your predicament in the first place. Some folks that tuned in might not know exactly what happened initially to get you in this horrifying predicament where you spent time in prison. So let's go right back to right before you guys are patrolling. You're out there with your friends helping the border guard. You guys had some sort of an agreement with the border guards there at the time. And what was the agreement, and then what happened?
Well, when we got to Camp Lone Star, the first thing that we did was we had a meeting with the top brass of the Border Patrol. They came from Houston and Brownsville, and I mean the top brass. And we sat down and we had to come up with ROEs and SOPs. ROEs is rules of engagement. SOP is standard operating procedures. And we made those clear with the Border Patrol. They approved what we intended to do and how we intended to do it. But when we started seeing that the Border Patrol were the ones who were complicit and smuggling drugs and smuggling illegal aliens, and I started broadcasting it. I had a blog talk radio show, Casey's Border yep. Talk, and I was also on the Rage Against the Regime platform, and I started yep. blasting the federal government for what they were doing. They shot at us on a patrol. They shot at my teammate, Jesus, John Forrester is his name. And because they committed a felony and they wanted to cover it up, they arrested John, and then they arrested me. Another reason why the feds decided to go ahead and take me down was because in October, about a week and a half prior to my arrest, I had a confrontation with the Border Patrol, and they tried to surround me and dictate to me what I was going to do and how I was going to do it. And I was able to articulate clearly, and they even admitted that they had no authority or jurisdiction over me, but yet they kept trying to bully me. That video is called BP Jam Up, and it's on YouTube under KC space Nunya, N-O-N-E-Y-A. It's called BP Jam Up. So the video's there, and it's very clear that I was able to articulate that they have no authority or jurisdiction, and they acknowledged that they had no authority or jurisdiction, but because I stood up to them and didn't bow down, a week and a half later, they take me down with about 30 federal agents with body armor and long arms, AR-15s.
It's crazy. So then they railroaded you. And then I was talking about a hearing. You came on my show in 2015, and right after the show, a week later, you had a hearing in hopes to have the charges dropped. And I don't know if you recall which hearing I'm talking about. It was around, I think it was March 24th or 25th. One of the last hearings before they actually incarcerated you, I believe. You were going in there hoping to get the charges popped. And what did they say when you got there?
Well, the judge dismissed my motions for suppression and dismissed my motions to drop the charge because the charges they had against me didn't apply to my activity or to the federal jurisdiction or to the intent of the law. The law that they convicted me of and sent me to prison was for possessing in or affecting commerce a firearm. And the law is very clear. Possess in commerce. Commerce is defined in the United States Code as the moving of goods or services on a large scale. And to affect commerce is defined as meaning to burden or obstruct. Neither had anything to do with what we were doing. Even though in my sentencing hearing, the U.S. attorney was so gracious enough to say that I did affect commerce because I interfered with illegal immigration and illegal drug smuggling. And he defined that as commerce.
Ha! People breaking the law, coming across our borders with drugs and gangs and human trafficking and all this stuff is considered by the federal government in our country as commerce. Huh. Why would they call it that unless they aren't making a ton of money off of it?
Oh, they were. I personally observed Border Patrol agents assisting in the smuggling of aliens across the river. I personally watched groups pass right in front of a Border Patrol vehicle while they did nothing. I've seen illegals with a Border Patrol sitting on the levee in plain sight. And they were coming up, going towards the Border Patrol vehicle when I intercepted them and ran them back into the river. The Border Patrol, I hate to inform people, but the Border Patrol is anywhere from 60 to 70% corrupt. There's maybe 30% that are good, solid men that are there to do the job that they were hired to do. But the majority of these guys are crooks. They're a part of the problem. They're not part of the solution. And there's a lot of money to be made, a lot of money to be made.
And you were interfering with their the Border Patrol's agents' commerce because I'm sure those guys are making big bucks under the table, bribes, drugs, prostitutes probably, and all kinds of things that they might be getting, what would be considered perks in the underworld.
Well, I can speak on what I saw, and I saw them smuggling drugs, and what I mean by that is I've witnessed at night. I have FLIR, so I can see everything clear at night up to 800 yards away. And I have personally witnessed someone coming from Mexico, walking up to a Border Patrol vehicle, placing a backpack through the passenger window, and then the Border Patrol agent handing them what appeared to be an envelope. Now, I know, he ordered tacos from Mexico at 12 o'clock at night, and this was the delivery guy. He was just bringing him tacos, and the envelope just, it was payment for the tacos. I understand. I'm not gullible, but I understand that's probably what happened.
They were getting tacos from Pancho Villa's Mexican restaurant.
From the Gulf Cartel's restaurant.
Yeah.
And, you know, people wonder why when we went to the border, we were so heavily armed. Well, in case anybody doesn't have a clue, go to YouTube and type in Gulf Cartel and look at the videos that those guys post of them murdering people and videotaping it and then uploading it to YouTube. I mean, those guys do not care, and they're brutal in the way that they kill people. Matter of fact, on patrol, not the body, out on our patrol route, that where they had dismembered this body. They had cut the head off, the arms off, and the legs off and piled it in a pile and left it right there for us to find.
It's horrible. Yeah, Rusty tells us stuff like that all the time, what's going on over on his ranch. He's still down there. Now he's by himself with a dog. There's nobody there. So basically, everybody left Camp Lone Star. Everybody left Casey Massey. when you were heading in, there were rallies, people were trying to raise money, there was a lot of support going on, and people like Dana and the guy from Patriotic Warriors, I can't place his name right now.
Melvin Lee is a federal plant. Melvin Lee from Patriotic Warriors, he's a Fed rat. He's in with the Feds. Don't trust the dude. I have firsthand knowledge and experience with Melvin Lee, and I originally thought Melvin Lee was a solid dude and a patriot. But I have learned since, one way I know is that I forgot what they call it, but you get to have this meeting with the U.S. attorney and your attorney, and I forgot what they call it, but whatever I say can't be used against me, and whatever they say, I can't use against them. And in that meeting, the U.S. attorney had told me about how he had had an in-depth conversation with Melvin Lee and how Melvin Lee, quote, said all these good things about me. Well, that threw a red flag up, because I guarantee you, if you were to call the U.S. attorney and try to speak to him on my behalf, he would tell you, hey, I can't talk to you. I got to let you go. But when it's somebody that's working with the government, you know, they're going to – I guess they think that I'm stupid. So he thought by telling me how Melvin Lee tried to speak for me that would let off my worries or suspicions about him, when that's totally not true, because I know for a fact the feds are not going to talk to somebody just randomly, especially about an ongoing case. So Melvin Lee is a piece of crap.
I'm going to tell you what Patriotic Warriors did here in Florida. They're slick, man. Before anybody knew that these guys were agent provocateurs, they were having rallies right up on overpasses, and they would sell T-shirts, and we had a crowd. We had about 75, 80 people up on a overpass here in the Sunshine State, and a gentleman named John was running around with, hey, sign up for Patriotic Warriors. Put your name right here on this list. And you know what? Every last one of us signed that damn list and got a T-shirt. Guess what? We're all being watched. That's what I think.
Patriotic Warriors is worse than Facebook about giving up information to the government. Patriotic Warriors was set up and is a direct give me to the feds, because they're working with the feds. Facebook has more restrictions on releasing your information, where Patriotic Warriors will hand your information right over. Melvin Lee is a scumbag. He's a piece of shit. I said it. I meant it.
That's
and I'm
why.
Here to represent it.
Yeah, well, you know, that come out a while back. You were still incarcerated, and we all found out the hard way. But we all found out, and everybody knows, Melvin Lee turned out to be a federal informant, and Patriotic Warriors is a data collection arm of the Federal Bureau of Investigation or whatever. And they were gathering names and signatures and ideas and plans and everything. And it's kind of scary, you know, because there's a lot of folks, you know. I don't know if you remember Chief Mark Kessler.
Oh yeah, he's another provocateur. He's
right.
Another piece of crap.
He came out, right? Let me tell you, he came out and he was making all these spectacular videos. Yeah, screw these feds. And he was bringing his guns out. This is what I think. Bang, 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 bang. And every time I'm watching this guy's videos, I'm like, I don't know, man. I'm not going to be friends with this guy. I'm not getting on this guy's list. There's something wrong with this guy. I don't trust this guy. Bam. And then he comes out. He was throwing people under the bus and setting up Arizona Border Recon guys, if I remember correctly. Horrible.
Yep. Kessler was another big piece of shit.
So now, Camp Lone Star is abandoned. You got this little lonely old man out there with a dog. I wish I could help him out, man. I'm up here over here in Florida. I feel like Rusty, man. I want to help the guy out so bad. There's really nothing I can do from my vantage point. He's a lonely old man on Camp Lone Star by himself. And the Camp Lone Star group pages are still up, and the folks that were there and folks that were affiliated are still talking, but nobody's there. And kind of those same people stopped talking to Casey Massey. How long into your sentence did everything die down, or anybody sent you a letter? How long, you know, was it right away? Did you get letters in the beginning? or did they just completely abandon you as soon as you went in?
No, there's and I'm not going to mention their names, but they know who they are, and I know who they are. Some of the others I didn't stay in contact with intentionally because I didn't want them on the Fed's radar, because I've been highly scrutinized in my phone calls, in my letters. There was people, family, that wrote me letters, and the letters were sent back to them. The feds were, they were all over me. And so a lot of the real true brothers, the ones that are solid, I lost contact with them directly because I wanted them to stay safe. But those true brothers maintained contact through me, through my family. So I haven't lost contact with the real ones, the real guys that were solid, that were stand up. We're still in contact, and we'll stay in contact because I know those guys are real as they get. And when you're on the border, we had a group of, quote, Marines come down there one time. Tell you how chicken shit these guys were. I put them out as OPs, observation point, and they weren't out 10 minutes. And they called, "We've been compromised. We've been compromised. We need a pickup. We need a pickup." And they're sitting there with AR-15s, 200 and something rounds on their chest and sidearms, and they're worried about being compromised. You coward piece of crap. This ain't a job for the weak-hearted. We were facing one of the most dangerous drug cartels in the world. They don't play. If you thought it was a game to come down here and try to beat your chest and act like a tough guy, man, you're an idiot. And so, I mean, it wasn't a joke. And I wound up having to dismiss those guys because, look, man, I don't need a coward on my team. Because anybody that was with me, and some people may think that I'm cruel or whatever, but I told them, if we ever get into a firefight and I'm there, if you try to turn and run, I'm going to shoot you myself. So if you're not cool with that, you don't need to go on a patrol with me. Because the last thing I need is to think that I got a guy on my six, and I turn around and all I see is assholes and elbows. No, I'm going to shoot you myself. And then I'm going to start back on who my target is. You're not going to abandon me and just leave me hanging like that. I'm sorry. And anybody that doesn't understand that, you're not a true warrior. You're a coward, and I don't want you around me anyway.
And you know what? You know how it goes. Stand behind me, stand next to me, or get the hell out of the way.
Yep.
You know?
Absolutely.
So now you're free. Well, you're not free yet, but how much house arrest and, you know, what's the rest of your sentence before they actually let you do what you got to do, try to get a job, to, you know, do stuff, live?
Well, right now, I'm fortunate enough to have great brothers, and one of my brothers has given me a job, and I'm working with him right now, and that allows me to get out of the halfway house. I'm supposed to be released from the halfway house May 8th, and I'm at that point, I'm going to be on probation for another 3 years. At this point, I'm not sure what they're going to do. The U.S. probation is trying to tell me how I have to live and where I have to live. And they want me to, like, rent an apartment for 6 months. And I said, look, lady, I've been locked up almost 4 years. I don't know what I want to do. You know, while life has been going by for everybody else, for those that are incarcerated, our life has stopped. So when we get back into the world, it's like jumping out of a car going 70 miles an hour. And I need time to reorient myself. I need time to know what I'm fixing to do, where I'm going. My wife divorced me while I was in prison. She sold all of my property. I mean, I have nothing left, really. So I've got to try to figure out what I can do to get my life back in order. And like I told the probation lady, I said, look, I'm not a scumbag and a criminal. I found the keys to success. I was a very successful person. I spent almost $40,000 of my money to effectuate the border mission, Camp Lone Star, and from Von Army, when I first got to the border, when we were doing day excursions to El Paso, Del Rio, Eagle Pass, Laredo, I spent a lot of money on my vehicles, wear and tear, fuel, for generators. I mean, I spent a tremendous amount of money. My money. I didn't ask for any money from anybody. I never have. I look at it that I volunteered to do this, and if I couldn't have afforded it, then I should have stayed at home and shut my mouth. But due to patriots like Charles Dyer, I was motivated to get out from behind the computer screen and do something. But just like Charles Dyer, I wound up in prison. Charles Dyer is in prison. He got set up, and he's doing 30 years in state prison. Hopefully, he's going to get his appeal. He's making an appeal to the federal courts to try to get his state conviction overturned, because they have DNA evidence that exonerates him, but the state refuses to hear the evidence and to let him go. So
right.
He's being held.
He got their guy, you know. He got their guy.
He's
scumbag. He pissed me off. It's unbelievable. The overreach and the abuse of power that's happening across our country, folks, hasn't just started recently. This stuff has been going on for a long time. And I think you can chalk it up to going all the way back 25 years ago, at least 25 years ago, when they tore up Waco, Texas, and they killed those women and children with gas and fire because they didn't like David Koresh.
Go back to Randy Weaver when they murdered his wife holding their child, when they murdered his son who was chasing a dog, you know, his
Ruby
young
Ridge.
Son, Ruby Ridge. So, I mean, it's been going on, and that was one of, quote, Timothy McVeigh's reasons for what he did. Whether he's right or wrong, I'm not going to debate that, but the point is he made a stand, and he thought what he was doing would help motivate people. Well, unfortunately, what he did didn't motivate people. It made people run and hide. So it made our movement go away for a while. And now we raise up again, starting with the Bundys, Malheur, the border. And what have they done to us? They put us in prison.
Yeah.
They don't want us to assert our rightful place and our rightful authority and exert our rights. They want to smash us like cockroaches. And that's what they're doing.
They don't want anybody knowing what they have God given to them that was documented so crafted so well in the Declaration of Independence and the Bill of Rights. They don't want anybody reminding people that this is here. And if you start saying, look, there's a Constitution, folks, it's the law of the land. It's the thing that everybody goes to. It's got a bunch of articles and amendments and all kinds of things in there for your reading enjoyment. Please get a Constitution and read it, the Declaration of Independence and the Bill of Rights. Everything after the Bill of Rights, to me, is kind of like, I don't know. But the Bill of Rights, the first 10 amendments, and the Declaration of Independence, very important. Very, very, very important. And when you stick up for it and you shine a light and you try to educate people on it, history and the American way, the way it was intended, the way it was handed to us by our forefathers, who turn over in their grave each and every day when folks like Casey Massey get arrested under extreme measures, over 30 agents fully armed to the teeth for one guy. Folks, it's intimidation. It's tyranny. So, you know, I always give out to the flag. I always do the national anthem, and I love the flag. But I love the flag of the United States of America, what it stood for when the forefathers initially gave us this great nation and this great republic to maintain with a government for the people, by the people. And we've no longer been able to maintain it. The power is way out of hand, and there's no way the people can maintain it. So this beautiful flag that I salute every night, and I salute it, and I love it still, because so many men and women go to the battlefield with the true intention to defend the flag and what it stands for, what it was intended to stand for. But right now, as KC pointed out to me one time not that long ago in a phone conversation, really is a symbol of tyranny at this moment in time. And many folks don't realize it. You're waving a symbol of tyranny, and the only way to get it back is to do something. And this gentleman on my show tonight tried really hard to do something, and then he went to prison for it. And there's many like him that go to prison for trying to shine a light on the rule of law that we have in our country called the United States Constitution. It's really scary that these officials would do this stuff and stomp on us, you know. But they do it. And they all have that flag on their shoulders as they stomp on American citizens, raid them, take their guns, confiscate their property, violate folks' constitutional civil rights, wearing that flag. After taking an oath to support and defend from all enemies, foreign and domestic, they sometimes come at us like the enemy, think they are the enemy. You know?
The only way I'll display the American flag is in the distress mode, upside down. I will not fly the American flag with the country, the government that we have right now in its normal way. I will only fly it in a way that depicts distress in this country. And that's upside down. And if I offend somebody by that, I'm sorry, I'm a vet too. I signed up to support and defend this country. And I went to the border on my own time and my own money to prove my love for this country, only to be thrown in prison. And another political prisoner who's going through hell right now is Bill Keebler. Anybody that is not aware of Bill Keebler, he needs our support right now. I'm going to tell you guys firsthand, a simple postcard or a letter means the world to us. And the patriots that sent me letters and postcards cheered me up at times when I was really down in the dumps. I mean, because I'm going to tell you something. Being in prison is not fun. I mean, I'm not scared. I'm not worried about anybody, quote, beating me up. Because, I mean, you got to bring one to get one. And so if somebody feels like they want to try it, then okay, let's go. But my problem is the intimidation that the feds use, just like they used against Bill Keebler. And when they put Bill Keebler in jail, they said that Bill Keebler got somebody, quote, a federal agent, and asked them to construct a bomb. Well, anybody that knows Bill Keebler is a former Green Beret. Bill Keebler can make an IED out of bubble gum, doo-doo, and toilet paper. He don't need anybody to build a...
He's making the guy to look like an amateur.
Hey, Bill Keebler is a solid stand-up patriot. That man is solid as they come. And they know that. And they know Bill's not scared. And Bill has the knowledge and capability to stand on his own 2 feet and to educate others how to do so, too. Bill Keebler is a hell of a man. And he's going through hell. They've held him in jail for 2 years, and his health is declining, and then they forced him into a plea bargain. I mean, these guys are ruthless.
Yeah.
Just like in my case, they tried to offer me, as a plea bargain, 5 years in prison. I told them to go eat snow, and I went to trial. Because I listened to my lawyer, and I didn't use a jury, I should have used a jury trial, but I listened to his dumb ass, and I let the judge do the trial. Well, the judge, because he's going to decide on, quote, case precedent, he found me guilty. So then when I went to my sentencing hearing, like 3 months later, the federal government tried to file an above-guideline sentence enhancement on me. After my pre-sentence report said there was no need for there to be any enhancement, that I was not a threat, but the government in my sentencing, and I've got the transcripts, said that I was a Timothy McVeigh, that I had no respect for federal authority, I had no respect for the federal law, and that I would be a repeat offender. And they wanted to give me the whole 10 years. Thank God Judge Hannon didn't do that. Thank God
right now,
Judge Hannon had enough knowledge and insight to go. He dropped my sentence level and sentenced me to almost 4 years in prison.
Now, what are the other importance has Judge Hannon done on this forefront? Because he was in the news prior to your sentencing, if I recall correctly.
He stood up against Obama.
Right. And not too many people do that. When I heard he was your judge, I was kind of like, oh, my God, this guy's got a good chance here. And then they still wound up in prison. So I was kind of disappointed for you. And believe me, brother, I kept you in my prayers. I don't have a lot of money and stuff. So that's why I do my show, so I can bring folks like you on to tell the story of what's going on in this country. It's all I got is my voice. You know, I'm raising a family. I'm the breadwinner. So I speak, and I bring the folks on to bring the truth. And it's so important to bring the truth of what's really happening, not what the mainstream media is feeding you. The mainstream media is feeding you nothing but a pile of crap dug up from
It's propaganda.
Yeah, tons. They are the MK Ultra. Project Mockingbird. All these little secret little programs they got where they're brainwashing you and twisting the narrative while you watch your late night TV shows. They lace the TV shows with liberal propaganda.
Google MK Ultra. I know you know what it is. For those who don't, that's the government's experiment on mind control. And they really in that now. They have really got it down to a science now. And I'll tell you another secret. Any of you guys that want to wonder how we've devolved into this situation, Google Willie Lynch letter. And that was originally written on a way to enslave the black people. After they enslaved the black people again, now they're using that same technique against all of us. It's spelled out, and this is from the 1700s. Called the Willie Lynch letter.
I have to look that up and maybe read that letter live on the air. The Willie.
Really should.
I'm going to Google it right now. The Willie. Hold on, let me get my Google up. Come on now. Get moving here. All right. The Willie. Say it again, the Willie, what letter?
Lynch, L-Y-N-C-H.
Willie Lynch letter. Here we go, I'm searching right now. We're going to maybe read this right now. Hey, Peggy, Mike, Nate, folks tuning in to the live feed, I want to thank everybody for coming on. Let's see what we got here. The William Lynch speech is an address purportedly delivered by a certain William Lynch to an audience on the bank of the James River in Virginia, 1712. So let's get that letter together.
I'm not sure if that's the right one. It's a Willie Lynch letter. I'm not sure about his speech. You want to find the letter.
Yeah, I'm looking at it right now. Full text of Willie Lynch letter, 1712.
There you go.
I guess he wrote a letter, and he also gave it as a speech. And I'm going to read it here, folks. This we're getting some history right now, thanks to Casey Massey. And this is from Willie Lynch, I guess. I greet you here on the bank of the James River in the year of our Lord, 1712. First, I shall thank you, the gentlemen of the colony of Virginia, for bringing me here. I'm here to help you solve some of your problems with your slaves. Your invitation reached me on my modest plantation in the West Indies, where I have experimented with some of the newest and still the oldest methods of control of the slaves. Ancient Romans would envy us if my program is implemented. As our boat sailed on the James River, named for our illustrious king, those versions of the Bible we cherish, I saw enough to know that your problem is not unique. While Rome used cords of wood as crosses for standing human bodies along its highways in great numbers, you are here using the tree and the rope on occasion. I caught the whiff of a dead slave hanging from a tree a couple of miles back. You are not only losing valuable stock by hangings, you are having uprisings, and the slaves are running away. Your crops are sometimes left in the fields too long for maximum profit. You suffer occasional fires, and your animals are killed. Gentlemen, you know what your problems are. I do not need to elaborate. I am not here to enumerate your problems. I am here to introduce you to a method of solving them. In my bag here, I have a foolproof method for controlling your slaves. I guarantee every one of you that if installed correctly, it will control the slaves for at least 300 years. My method is simple. Any member of your family or your overseer can use it. I have outlined a number of differences among the slaves and make the differences bigger. I use fear, distrust, and envy for control. These methods have worked on my modest plantation in the West Indies, and it will work throughout the South. Take this simple little list of differences and think about them. On top of the list is age, but it's there only because it starts with an A. The second is color or shade. There is intelligence, size, sex, size of plantations and status of plantations, attitude of owners, whether the slaves live in the valley, on a hill, east, west, north, or south, have fine hair, coarse hair, or is tall or short. Now that you have a list of differences, I shall give you an outline of action. But before that, I shall assure you that distrust is stronger than trust and envy stronger than adulation, respect, or admiration. The slaves, after receiving this indoctrination, shall carry on and will become self-refueling and self-generating for hundreds of years, maybe thousands. Don't forget, you must pitch the old black male versus the young black male, and the young black male against the old black male. You must use the dark-skinned slaves versus the light-skinned slaves, and the light-skinned slaves versus the dark-skinned slaves. You must use the female versus the male versus the female. You must also have your white servants and overseers distrust all black. It is necessary that your slaves trust and depend on you. They must love, respect, and trust only you. Gentlemen, these kits are your key to control. Use them. Have your wives and children use them. Never miss an opportunity. If used intensely for 1 year, the slaves themselves remain perpetually distrustful of each other. Thank you, gentlemen. Let's make a slave. It is the interest and business of slaveholders and to study human nature and the slave nature in particular, with a view to particular results. I and many of them attained astonishing proficiency in this direction. They had to deal with not with earth, wood, and stone, but with men, and by every regard they had for their own safety and prosperity, they needed to know the material on which they were to work. Consciousness of the injustice and wrong they were every hour perpetuating, and knowing what they themselves would do, were they the victims of such wrongs, they were constantly looking for the first signs of the dreaded retribution. They watched, therefore, with skilled and practice, and learned to read with great accuracy. The state of mind and heart of the slave through his sable face, unusual sobriety, apparent abstractions, sullenness, and indifference indeed, any mood out of the common was afforded ground for suspicion and inquiry. Well, you can see, basically, it's a long letter. I'm going to stop right there. Basically, what he's trying to say is put them against each other. Use these methods, young versus old, light versus dark, man versus woman, vice versa. Pit each other against. It's called divide and conquer. They're doing it masterfully. You could see it unfold in Charlotte. You could see it happening in Baltimore and down in Missouri when they were tearing up the cities, burning up things and going, what do we want? Dead cops. When do we want them? Right now. And all that stuff. Pigs in a blanket. Fry them like bacon. They're going after the police. They're going after the innocent people. They're dividing us. They're jamming a wedge between the people. So big and so deep, it's almost impossible to fight. It's a great letter. It's unbelievable. And they've been using this tactic since, apparently. No?
Yeah, unfortunately, we'll tell you why our country is in the shape that it's in. And a lot of it's because we don't know our history anymore because of the government indoctrination system that they call the education system. The Department of Education is the Department of Indoctrination. And just like a lot of people think and praise Abraham Lincoln as this great man, this great president, Abraham Lincoln was a piece of shit. Abraham Lincoln was the first person to turn our country from a de jure government to a de facto government. And if you don't know the difference between de jure and de facto, please look it up. I don't want to explain this to you. I just want you to give the fruits. And then you go look them up. That way you know what you've read and you know what I'm saying is true. But Abraham Lincoln is the one that destroyed this country. He's the first one to make this country the piece of shit country it is. And that's why the revisionist history tries to paint him as this great man, this person who fought for slavery. Abraham Lincoln didn't give a damn about slaves. And he even said so in his own speeches.
And
he only
slaves.
Wanted to preserve the Union.
That's it. And I say that all the time, you know, Lincoln was this great guy, you know. Maybe he studied hard. Maybe in the beginning he had these great intentions, like most politicians always, you know, they start out, that's it, I can't take this anymore. I'm going to D.C. and I'm going to make a difference. And then they get to D.C. and the corruption and the money corrupt them fully, and then they're gone. And then they fall right into the swamp trap.
He was already corrupt. Abraham Lincoln, despite the good old Honest Abe and the good old Abe, the old strong country boy, Honest Abe was a lawyer. Honest Abe represented the interests of the big banks and the big industrialists. Abraham Lincoln didn't care about the average guy. He cared about the big money. He cared about the money that he could generate by keeping his banker buddies in business.
Right. And the guys down in the South got pissed off, and they said, look, man, this taxes, they're unbalanced. They said, this is wrong, what's going on here. We want fairness here, and if you can't give us fairness, we're not going to deal with you no more. And they were like, well, whatever. And next thing you know, the real reason of the Civil War, money, kicked off the Civil War. Plain and simple.
Well, I'm a Confederate veteran. And we don't call it the Civil War. We call it the War of Northern Aggression because that's what it was. The North, because they were going broke and didn't have money, they wanted to rob the South. And how they did that was they started putting big tariffs on all the products coming out of the South. And by doing that, that's what created the South's decision to leave the Union. Because the government's screwing them. They weren't doing them any favors. They were hurting them. And so for that reason, they decided to dissolve the Union.
And remember, they had this document already written by that time called the Constitution. And in the Constitution, it tells the people that when they no longer represent you, it's your duty to cast them off and elect people that will. And that's partly what they were just trying to do, get a representative government that would represent their interests. And they weren't getting it. And so they were going to get their own. And they wanted to secede from the Union. Folks.
Well, and that's another part of this villainization of the Confederates. That, oh, they hated black people. They loved slavery. No, they loved freedom. They loved having their own economy. And the thing about it is, if you research history, you will see and understand that there was just as many black slave owners as there was white slave owners in the South.
Yes.
But nobody talks about that.
Well, we do here on Patriot Nation Radio, and it turns out I happen to have some of the statistics stuck right in my brain. 40% of all free African people in America in 1860 owned slaves. 40%. Folks, when slavery was at its peak, only 1.6% of Americans owned slaves. 1.6%. Truth. Right here. Patriot Nation. You know what I mean? Those are real stats.
And another reason Abraham Lincoln tried to say what they quote him as, oh, he didn't want any more slavery in the new states. Do you know why that was? Because they didn't want black people spreading. Because if there wasn't a slave, they didn't need to go to the new state. So they wanted to outlaw slavery to keep the blacks out of the new state. Had nothing to do with wanting to get rid of slavery. It was wanting to stop the blacks from spreading.
Yep. He was an evil man, you know, and he studied by candlelight. But guess what? He wasn't the only one. You know, last I checked, in 1860, they didn't really have no kind of electricity. You know, so they were all studying by candlelight. So we're supposed to think that was some kind of amazing feat that Abraham Lincoln would read books by candlelight. So did the rest of the country. You know what I mean? Man.
Absolutely.
So then they came out with the 13th Amendment, the one that, quote, freed the African slaves. And then they came up with the 14th Amendment, which in turn enslaved everybody. And then they did other things like the 16th Amendment, which I believe was never even ratified, which is the amendment that robs us blind. And then the 17th Amendment, all of which just go against the Bill of Rights and anything that our forefathers stood for. So, I mean, what are we waiting for? I don't know. You know, the guys on the left, they have these gigantic protests, and they have all these pre-made signs, thousands of signs and banners and flags and all this stuff, and they say moveon.org on the bottom of them. And moveon.org is funded by George Soros. George Soros funds all these people on the left that are destroying cities and attacking people and doing all this crazy stuff. Something that people don't get, and I can't believe people still don't believe this, the Democrats are the party of Jim Crow, segregation, slavery. None of them voted for the 13th Amendment. None of them wanted the slaves free at all, the Democrats. The KKK was formed by Democratic sheriffs, Democrats.
Here's
they try to blame
else.
Republicans for everything. They try
Here's
to,
something
but
else.
You know, they're equally bad, to my view, though. Republicans, Democrats, politicians in general, equally bad. Doesn't matter what party, what affiliation. Once you get up there and you get past your second or third term, you're corrupt and evil like the rest of them.
Well, one thing that people need to search in history, too, there's been a role reversal between the original, quote, Democrats and the original Republicans. Republicans, Abraham Lincoln was the first Republican. And the platform
right.
of the Republicans at that time was big government. The Democrats wanted smaller government. The Republicans wanted bigger government, and that was the original platform. Now, over the years, they flip-flopped, and now, like you said, the Democrats were Jim Crow and more government, and then the Republicans were supposedly against big government. But that's all of an illusion. All that is a joke on the people. That's another way to divide and conquer. It's pathetic because we don't know our history anymore. It's pathetic, the games and lies that we've been indoctrinated with to where we don't even know the truth anymore. And one thing that they did for me by putting me in prison, you know, when you're living in the world, you don't have time because you're too busy trying to pay bills. You're too busy trying to work. You're too busy doing everything else. But in prison, you have nothing but time. And in prison, I was able to educate myself. I was able to read a lot of books. What's it called? The Devil from Jekyll Island or something about, I can't remember. It's something about Jekyll Island. Anyway, that explains how the Federal Reserve came into action and how they took over the financial system of the United States. And
Federal Reserve
that,
1913.
But the big bankers.
It was the Federal Reserve Act, 1913, but it was put in motion before that so that they to get them to the point of the Federal Reserve Act, 1913. If you ever notice, the dollar bills all say Federal Reserve note. They are instruments of debt.
Yeah, they're not positive notes. So how can you pay a debt with a debt? That's the problem. That's why we don't ever own our own houses. We don't ever own our own cars. And people say, yeah, I own my house. Yeah, I own my car. Okay, if you really own your house and you really own your car, don't register your car. Don't go get it inspected. If you really own
your
house, if you do, don't pay your taxes. And see what happens. See who owns your property.
Yes,
hey,
indeed.
I'm gonna have to put you on hold for a minute, but I'll be back in about 5 minutes, okay?
All right, no problem. Thanks a lot. I'll be right here again. I'm gonna wrap up here when you come back. So if you have any websites or anything like that you want to promote, bring that back with you.
I'm not gonna drop off. I'm just gonna put this phone on mute because I have to make a phone call.
All right, you got it. Ladies and gentlemen, we are talking with Casey Massey. He had been incarcerated down on the border, sticking up for America, shelled out tons of his own cash. I see here on the live feed we have Gary Beck is watching. He's up in Bay County. Today, Gary, I posted your name in a post. They're talking about the Bay County Republican Club. I don't know how good it is up there in the Bay County, but I know that the Bay County Commission and those folks up there are highly corrupted, and they are on Gary's ass in a big way. Gary, I need you to come on the show soon, brother, and update us on your story and all that stuff. So please, we will be in touch. I'm sorry. I know the lines of communication have been kind of spotty between you and me and getting connecting again. I'm sorry, brother. We'll get you back on the show here real soon because I think that what's going on in your county is ridiculous. I have a gentleman who's running for governor who maybe needs to know about what's shaking in Bay County, Florida. It's really, really crazy what's going on, the corruption in Bay County, Florida. Folks like Bruce Nathan and Bob White and others that are on the low end of the ticket where people aren't really paying attention to. This is my son. That's my little man. This is why we do these fights. What are you punching me for? Getting ready to give me a right hook. Watch, ready? Ladies and gentlemen, a little comedy from the Hoffmans. I love my boy. He's being really good. Here comes another one. I'll die. Ooh! He really got me. Ladies and gentlemen, thanks for tuning in to our comedy sketch, Mason and Mark. Who's on first?
You.
I'm on first now. Who's on second?
Me.
He's on second. So he must be who? I must be what? Where, when, how, and why? Casey's going to join us back here in a couple seconds. He's on a phone call with somebody. I better turn his mic hot because I won't know when he comes back on.
I'm back.
I'm going to see who this is. Hey, he's back. You back?
I'm back. I had to check in with the halfway house.
Yes, sir. So I'm going to get ready to wrap up the show here real fast. Is there any kind of website, anything you want to promote, anything you want to say, a final statement that you want to say to the people about what happened, what took place, and how you feel? Go for it.
Yeah, there's some websites I'd like to get out there for people so that they can see what I did on the border. And that's at YouTube. If you go to YouTube and you put in the search K. C space Nunya, Nonneya, you'll be able to see my videos of us chasing them back across the border, my confrontation with the Border Patrol, one of the interviews I did with a German reporter, us detaining, quote, arresting illegals. All those videos are available on YouTube under KC space Nunya, Nonneya. If you want to look for me on Facebook, you can search Facebook for KC Massey 3, III. Another good website if you want to see and follow what's happened through the courts and court documents and articles that were written about me, you can go to outpostoffreedom.com. That's outpost-of-freedom.com, and that site is run by Gary Hunt. Gary Hunt has been a firm, solid person for me the entire time that I've been locked up, and due to Gary, I was able to research and develop the jurisdiction argument and the argument of the actual statute as it's not applicable to me. Gary has been a tremendous help to me. I love Gary to death. On Twitter, if you want to follow me on Twitter, it's at KC_Massey. And you can follow me on Twitter.
Excellent. Ladies and gentlemen, there you have it. You have all the information for KC. And we have a caller on the line. I want to see who the caller is on the line real fast. Let's see who it is. I'm going to just bear with me 1 second, folks. Here's KC Massey live on the Patriot Nation Radio Show as I screen this call. Say hi to the folks. I'm going to screen the call real fast.
Hello, everybody. Thanks for listening. I appreciate your interest, and I appreciate your concern. Please become active. Not everybody has to be a soldier, but everybody can do something. If it's writing letters to our congressmen, if it's doing like Mark's doing through media, internet media, do something to help spread the word, to educate your neighbors, your friends, your family. We need to get our country back. We need to do something. And every one of us has a role to play. Not everybody's a soldier. Not everybody's a reporter. But every one of us has a role that we can play. Every one of us. So it's very important, people, that you do something.
I'm going to bring it in a second. On the line, KC, apparently is your number one fan. So I'm going to bring her on real fast. I said, what's your name? She said, KC's number one fan. So here we go. We're bringing on. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the show as we get ready to wrap up. She's going to bring a couple of things up for us. It's KC's number one fan on the line. Welcome to the show.
Right. We say it's the number one fan of the man they call KC. Anyway, KC was searching for the name of that book. The name of that book is The Creature from Jekyll Island.
That's it.
The Creature from Jekyll Island.
We're talking taxes, and you were saying that prior to the Civil War that the taxes were unfair. Well, I'm sorry, that's inaccurate. Prior to the Civil War, the only taxes that were collected were taxes on tea spills, were taxes on glass windows, there were taxes that were levied on tariff on imports such as whiskey, tobacco. Tobacco actually wasn't heavily taxed, and neither was whiskey, and they only did that for a little while. The first tax wasn't levied for income tax until 1861 in order to pay for the effort of the war, okay? Everybody thinks, you know, it was such an expensive war. The biggest expense that we paid in that war was of life and liberty.
Right.
It was repealed in 1871 by Congress, that income tax. There were no central banks at the time.
Uh-oh. I think we lost our guest.
No, I'm here. I'm here. Okay. I'm just waiting for everything to catch up to me. You know, that's all. I tend to move a little bit faster than most of this world and really pretty close to the speed of sound. At any rate, so when they repealed that in 1871, there still was no central bank. Now, the first money, paper money, that was actually a debt money was the greenback. That greenback was also called a demand note. And the reason it was called demand note is because they were demanding people to pay for the war. Okay? And it was payable on demand. So this is why they called it that. And that was first issued in 1861 by the U.S. Department of the Treasury. In 1862, they began to issue the United States notes, where Congress had authorized a new class of currency, which was known as United States notes or the legal tender note. These were also a debt note. That note was already in debt. Just like our money today, there's so much of it that's already debt. I want to say currently up to something like 46 cents on the dollar is already a debt that needs to be paid.
Gary.
I'm sorry?
That's scary stuff, and I really like the being corrected, because I like to have proper knowledge, you know. But I know that the Federal Reserve Act, 1913, was the act that really did us in, though. That's the one that really did the damage, no?
in my business there, because pretty much I call myself Lorraine of America, and I consider myself here to stop that 100-year war that we've been in with the Federal Reserve under the New World Order, basically. Okay?
Yes, ma'am.
At any rate, yeah, there's a whole big kettle of fish, though, that you really can't, you know, that's a can of worms. Unless you intend to go fishing, you better not open tonight.
Amen. Thank you, ma'am, so much for coming on and giving us the correct information so that we can always try to have the truth and the way it was written on the air.
Mark,
and the
people. I've followed the program for years, and
Thank
I would
you.
Hope that you would that which is what people need to hear, and not just throw out thoughts without giving them the backing for it.
Amen.
Casey can do too. Ken Cesar likes to know all the proper knowledge, and generally he gets it pretty straight, but he's got so much crowding in that head of his, and having been in a crowded space all these years now, 3 years going on, I can just imagine what's going on in his head.
Yes, ma'am. Okay, I want to thank you so much for coming on. I appreciate it. I'm going to put you back on hold so you can listen to the rest of the show. Greatly appreciate it. If you'd like to say something to Casey.
I've got some computer, Mark. Listen, good luck out there, Ken. Casey, I love you. You know that, dude.
Appreciate you, Donna.
Love you, baby. Bye.
See ya. All right, there you go. Always like good phone calls that can keep us on the straight and narrow. I know that that lady right there has been listening to our show for a long time, and I think I caught it there at the end. It was Dinah, and she's been out there for a long time fighting. Casey, I got a message from one of our fans. She wrote you a letter last year, and she says thank you for calling out Meldon Lee live on the air. People don't usually have the merit to do that. Folks don't usually just go out and call out somebody live on the air, but he called it right out, and it was good stuff. Casey, I want to thank you so much for coming on. Anytime you want to come on the show, you're welcome. Welcome to join us here on the Patriot Nation Radio Show, even if it's just to talk about anything. Whatever you want to talk about, you're welcome on my show anytime, sir.
Thank you. I appreciate it. I appreciate you giving me a venue to speak, and all I'm trying to do is get the word out. I want people to know what their unalienable rights are, what the Constitution is, and what dirty levels this government will do to take you away if you present a threat to them. And obviously, I presented a threat to them, and so my reward was prison.
Amen. It's horrible, and I'm glad that you're out. You're in a halfway house. Your brother's helping you work, and that folks are rallying around you. I want to thank you again, and God bless, brother.
Thank you. Y'all have a great night. Thanks for listening.
You too. Take care. And stay strong, brother, and you always got a spot here on Patriot Nation Radio. Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, Casey Massey, live on the Patriot Nation Radio Show. You heard it here. Calling out federal informants live on the air, knowing through his court case that these people are feds. Crazy stuff. Now, I want to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, from my friend Pastor Sylvester Bland and the United Saints of America.us, October 12th through October 14th, 2018, the Four Points Sheraton at the Kansas City International Airport, 11832 New Plaza Circle, Kansas City, Missouri. The Remnant Saints on the move in the last days, ladies and gentlemen, are going to be having a gigantic event there. Hopefully, I believe Patriot Nation Radio might make it up there. I'm hoping. I really want to go. And if you want to get all the details, listen to the United Saints of America at www.theunitedsaintsofamerica.us. You can call that at 1-951-360-3399. Home Church is international. Churches without walls, folks. This is anywhere two people are praising Jesus. That's church. That's the whole idea about church without walls. And that is my good friend, Pastor Sylvester Bland, the United Saints of America.us. Check him out. And I also want to give props to my good friend, Brian Lang in Live Truth Radio. Make sure you check him out. Keep an ear out for Keeper's Mind Pool. My good friend, Robert, doing Keeper's Mind Pool. You want to do and lurk and search for Spread the Word with Slider and Deborah. doing great stuff, doing great shows. Folks, if you don't like my show, go check out those shows. Get the message. Find out. Learn. Educate yourself on what's really happening in our country today. And without further ado, I want to turn right back to our good friend, Dave Bray. My son's going to join me on this one because he's here with me. We're going to do the national anthem. Now, I know some folks, like Casey's, and his leg is upside down now. It's in distress. We're in a nation in distress. But here we go. It's the Star Spangled Banner, performed by Dave Bray. This is the studio version. Join me as I put the flag here in front of the flag. Come stand on this side, son. Right over here. And we're going to do the national anthem, ladies and gentlemen. God bless you. God bless America. And then I'll go over the schedule for the next couple weeks.
Oh, say can you see by the dawn's early light what so proudly we hailed at the twilight's last gleaming, whose broad stripes and bright stars through the perilous fight, o'er the ramparts we watched were so gallantly streaming. Hail the rocket's red glare, the bombs bursting in air, gave proof through the night that our flag was still there. Oh, say doth that star-spangled banner yet wave o'er the land of the free and the home of the
DaveBrayUSA.com, folks. Make sure you check it out. Check it out today. Check it out early. Check it out often. Dave Bray will be coming on here in early June after the release of his new record. And it's going to be good stuff. Great, great stuff. DaveBrayUSA.com now. And without further ado, let's check out the calendar. Thursday, this week, we got Chuck Hinman. Hindman's going to come on and talk about the nuclear waste that we are living in right now. Unbelievable stuff happening because of the Fukushima nuclear meltdown that has been melting down for 7 years and dumping 300 metric tons of radioactive waste into the Pacific Ocean for 7 years. 300 metric tons a day. Unfathomable. Then on Monday the 7th, we have Bill Muckler, author, writer, columnist, patriot, coming on the show. It's going to be good stuff. He's really a great patriot. And we have on May 10th, America First Coalition is going to join us. They are doing some great stuff. They are in the corner of gubernatorial candidate for Florida, Bruce Nathan. He's doing great stuff. Bruce Nathan is really doing some good stuff on the campaign trail. Then we got Monday the 14th. I think I just booked a show there, but I don't remember it. So when I get that, you'll hear that on Thursday. Then on the 17th, getting ready for Rolling Thunder into D.C. Memorial Day weekend, the Saluting Marine, Tim Chambers, live right here on the Patriot Nation radio show, where we back our veterans, we support our veterans, and we love our country. And without further ado, I would like to say thank you to each and every one of you. Thanks for tuning in on the live feed. Thanks for tuning in on Radio World there on the blogtalkradio.com pages. And if you don't know where I am there, www.blogtalkradio.com/Patriot Nation. That's the webpage. Go there, click follow, and you'll get the message every time we create a show or put a show out. It'll drop right in your email. So go there, follow, follow, follow. Follow, 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 follow the yellow brick road. Here at Patriot Nation, we are silly. And again, folks, join in Thursday, 8 p.m., right after Conservative's Perspective by James Bostic. Heard here two nights a week, Tuesdays and Thursdays, 7 p.m. And, of course, Patriot Nation Radio two nights a week, Monday and Thursday, 8 p.m. Eastern. Good night. God bless you. God bless America. And God bless everyone. Good night. Peace. Love you all. on end over here. Post. There it is.
The end of your video, you were like.
Great.